Viking believes that a journey on the rivers of the world can be an experience designed for the thinking person. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Lacob, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. For a series so clearly centered in a seaside resort town, this latest episode of Sanditon is a little different.
Are we here? Is this London?
With a dastardly kidnapping plan in full swing, a headstrong young Charlotte Haywood and a steadfast Sydney Parker separately head to the capital as this episode takes Sanditon viewers outside of the familiar and into the dark and occasionally thrilling world of Regency-era London.
Well, I've asked around, and as luck would have it, Mrs. Maudsley's hosting a masked rout this very evening in Grosvenor Square. And this is your invitation.
Sanditon creator Andrew Davis knew it would be important to feature the city in at least one episode of this season in order to properly place the world of the village and its characters in a broader context.
I was a little bit chary about leaving Sanditon, but as it turned out, I mean, it did make for an exciting contrast and an interesting change. It's good to put our heroine into even more testing circumstances and finding out, you know, whether she can cope with them.
Sanditon star Rose Williams doesn't see Charlotte's brash and foolhardy actions in this more urban episode as anything different from the Charlotte we know by the sea.
She feels so guilty and responsible. She's just so majorly messed up, and she feels an utter responsibility for the safety of Miss Lamb, and that overrides her loyalty to Mary, and she just has to... She has to do something, and the only thing that she has is this address, and she just has to, follow that.
Still, Williams readily admits, Charlotte likely wouldn't survive in London on her own.
She's completely clueless. She's never been to London. She's never been on a coach on her own before. She doesn't really know where she's going. She doesn't know the extent of the danger she's putting herself in either. He confuses her. He's confused her up to this point, and then this U-turn and this act of great compassion, she just can't make heads or tails of the guy. She doesn't know what on earth he is. And she does soften to him a bit, but I think she's kind of got this dumbfounded confusion again, but in a different way.
Neither would Crystal Clark's kidnapped Georgiana Lamb.
Yeah, she would rather, you know, try and survive and be in her happiest space than be forced into any type of trauma. So she would cut her own throat, or she would jump off of that cliff. If she's not allowed to be free or like try and get to whatever freedom she needs.
It's up to the dashing, if dour, Sydney to come to the rescue, and actor Theo James was proud to step in and save the day.
Sydney Parker, Regency Action Hero. I think we actually pulled back on it a bit because the dark, you know, kind of mean streets and deeply shadowed streets of Regency London, and then a cloaked man suddenly gave us kind of something reminiscent of, you know, Jane Austen Batman. So we realized we needed to pull back a little bit and make it, I guess, quicker and more real. But yeah, I think that's a fun way to start the episode, a tough way to start the episode. And then the carriage scene, you know, that's just a kind of a big set piece, action element in a way, which is quite unique for Jane Austen, clearly. But, you know, it was very much within the character and within the storyline, so it felt good to do and it made sense in terms of the narrative. I think we shot it on the grounds of this beautiful country estate in the deep heat of June. So it was great.
As for his rescue of his kidnapped ward, Georgiana Lamb, it's a moment straight out of an action movie.
Oh, no, you don't. She is my property.
I am no man's property. Least of all yours.
Last I heard, the penalty for kidnap was hanging.
Is that a price you're willing to pay?
Step aside.
Now! You owe me £1,800!
Before we hear more, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
all veranda staterooms. Every day, a new view. Viking, offering a small ship experience on the world's oceans and a shore excursion in every port. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. For Davis, this busy, buzzy episode also lays the stakes for the final two episodes.
I think viewers will find it a surprising ending that makes them impatient for more, really. And that's what we want. And I think that people will say, well, you can't leave it like that. And that's what we want them to feel.
With that tantalizing setup, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk more about the episode-ending masked ball.
The Brothers Parker!
Well, most people.
And who is this spellbinding creature? I demand you introduce us at once, Sydney.
This is Miss Haywood, you fool.
Oh, Miss Haywood, I would not have known you. A mask becomes you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. If that was indeed a compliment.
The toast of London society glides about a glamorous private ballroom in exquisite Venetian masks, dancing, gossiping, and making questionable choices.
If you dislike London so much, then why are you here?
My friend Georgiana was abducted. She's an heiress, you see, and her suitor, Mr. Molyneux, had accrued gambling debts he could not pay. So she was sold into a forced marriage.
How simply shocking.
It was. Anyway, thank God we found her in time and now she's safe. But Mr. Tom insisted we come here tonight to spread word of the Sanditon Regatta. But as you can see, I'm singularly failing in that task.
We see Charlotte as honest and blunt as ever, but we also see Sydney smile. And we see Charlotte and Sydney dance.
You did not have to ask me, you know, out of politeness.
It's what people do at dances, is it not, dance? Unless you'd rather not.
No, it's only... there are so many other ladies here that you could ask.
But I don't want to dance with them.
Both Theo and Rose knew that moment was special.
I liked that. I think the idea of episode 6 is they go through a big, you know, emotional and physical journey, and that allows them to really connect. You know, they kind of go through the trenches together. And then he is able to relax and enjoy her and enjoy life a little bit. And that is kind of represented in his ability to be warm.
I think that throughout that dance that Sydney and Charlotte have just danced together, she has totally realised that she is head over heels in love with him after hearing that from Lady Susan. And she really senses a connection. And Charlotte's kind of thinking, oh, well, that must be because of me. So then that joy and excitement is just pulled from underneath her, and it's just an instant heartbreak. So it's like a full heart, and then she looks across the room and realises that he's happy because of another woman. And she really allowed herself in that moment to believe that she was the person that he liked. We've all been there.
So it's a bummer what happens next.
How happy I am to see the light return to your eyes, Charlotte.
There's nothing like dancing to restore one's spirits.
Quite so, my dear. Quite so. Seems to have had a similar effect upon Sydney.
Do you think so?
It's undeniable. He is positively revivified. But then perhaps that is not so much due to the dancing as to the presence of a certain young lady.
Which young lady do you have in mind, sir?
He's talking to her now. Mrs. Campion. It's unmistakably her. How strange that we were just discussing her only this afternoon. I heard she'd been widowed. And I had no idea she was in London.
I do not recall discussing a Mrs. Campion.
I dare say I refer to her by her Christian name, Eliza. Perhaps they will have their chance of happiness after all.
What's left of this would-be, won't-be, will-they-won't-they Austin romance of tough spirits and hard wills? We'll find out next week as this season of Sanditon hurries towards its close.
Longtime Masterpiece viewers are no strangers to the work of master screenwriter Andrew Davis. His adaptation and completion of Jane Austen's unfinished final novel, Sanditon, is a fitting vessel for his legendary wit, and he joins us here on the podcast for an extended conversation next Sunday, February 16th. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Elishaba Etoup is our editor. Rebecca Eaton is the executive producer at large of Masterpiece. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Suzanne Simpson. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust. Masterpiece Studio is officially a Webby Awards nominee for 2024. We are honored to be considered among such talented competition, but we need your vote. Head over to vote.webbyawards.com and vote for Masterpiece Studio in the podcast section, where you'll find us listed in the general television and film category. Voting closes Thursday, April 18th, so be sure to get your vote in soon. That's vote.webbyawards.com. Thank you.